This is Radio Catskill. Listen local.
For Radio Catskill, this is Rosie Starr. Welcome to Farm and Country, locally produced radio about rural life in the Catskills and the Delaware River Valley. On today's show, Anthony Biancoviso shares his sentiments about his rock garden in Barryville, New York. Susan Munch speaks to us at this year's BioBlitz about liverworts and mosses. And from our archives, local poets recite the written words of Emily Dickinson on the theme of botany. All of that coming up on today's Farm and Country after news headlines from NPR.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Representative Sheila Jackson Lee of Texas has died. Jackson Lee's office says she died in Houston last night. She was 74. A statement from her congressional office called her a fierce champion of the people. NPR's Dave Mistich has more.
A member of Congress since 1995, Jackson Lee represented a mostly black and Hispanic district in the Houston area for nearly three decades. She spearheaded the recognition of Juneteenth as a federal holiday, as well as legislation that reauthorized the Violence Against Women Act. Jackson Lee announced last month she had been diagnosed with and was being treated for pancreatic cancer.
Lee was running for re-election at the time of her death. President Biden is at his beach home in Delaware recovering from a COVID infection as a growing list of Democratic lawmakers call on him to withdraw from the presidential race. His campaign, however, says Biden is looking forward to getting back out on the campaign trail next week. A phone call between Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky and former President Donald Trump on Friday is being seen by some in Ukraine as a change of message from their leader. NPR's Ashley Westerman has more from Kyiv.
President Zelensky wrote on X that during the call, he told Trump Ukraine would always be grateful for help from the U.S. in their fight against Russia's invasion, and that the two agreed to discuss more at a future in-person meeting. Zelensky, who organized the call, has previously criticized Trump for promising to curb aid to Ukraine. But once Trump became the Republican presidential nominee, Kyiv-based political analyst Mykola Davyduk says the call was necessary.
The Trump come to the position of president. They need to work together and try to find peaceful decisions.
Davyduk does not predict Zelensky and Trump's tumultuous relationship will improve greatly after the call. But he says they have both sent a message that they can at least communicate with each other. Ashley Westerman, NPR News, Kyiv.
The director of the Secret Service is expected to testify on Capitol Hill next week. NPR's Ryan Lucas reports lawmakers on the House Oversight Committee are demanding answers following the attempted assassination against Trump.
Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle's appearance Monday before the House Oversight Committee will be just 9 days after a gunman tried to kill former President Trump at a rally in Butler, Pennsylvania. The panel's Republican chairman, James Comer, says Americans are demanding answers from Cheadle about what Comer calls the historic security failures at the rally that day. That includes how a gunman was able to get onto a roof with a clear line of sight on the former president. Questions also have been raised after it emerged that the Secret Service knew about a threat before Trump took the stage that day, but still allowed him to go out and speak. Ryan Lucas, NPR News, Washington.
And you're listening to NPR News.
Support comes from Damascus Citizens for Sustainability, fighting for clean air, land, and water since 2008, both locally and beyond. Information online at their Main Street storefront in Narrowsburg or their office in the Narrowsburg Union. DamascusCitizens.org.
Welcome back to Farm and Country. I'm your host, Rosie Starr. On today's show, Anthony Biancoviso shares his sentiments about his rock garden in Barryville, New York. Susan Munch speaks to us at this year's BioBlitz about liverworts and mosses. And local poets read the writings of Emily Dickinson on the theme of botany in the gardens. Thank you for joining us on Radio Catskill for this week's locally produced Farm and Country. Recently, I visited the home of Sally Rowe and Anthony Biancaviso in Barryville, New York. Sally is a part of this year's Sullivan County Garden Day Tour, happening Saturday, July 27th. As I was finishing my walkthrough of Sally's magnificent garden, I came across her husband, Anthony, where he was engaged in a mindful activity. I caught one of the gardeners watering. The afternoon, you. Tell me about this garden here. Did you do this garden?
Yeah, it's my stone garden.
Oh, it's a stone garden. Anthony, I have to hear about this.
This garden is designed where I don't plant anything, but that's not particularly true. I put a little stuff in once in a while, like sedums that grow. Anything that grows that I like the, see the bluegrass? That's coming up wild. I didn't plant any of that. I did not plant a number of these lavenders. They're opportunistic. See this guy? This planted himself. So, and this guy planted himself. So what my strategy is, if something I like lights on here, I'll let it grow and I'll encourage it to grow. And if something I don't like grass or something, I'll pull that out. But I never pull out anything that I like. So it's like a cooperation between me and nature's seeding it. And I'm saying, that's good. I don't like that one. I'll keep that one. But I don't put anything in. That's my strategy, that I don't really put anything in. Except Sally gives me stuff. So then I'll just stick it here or there. But that's not really what I'm about. So what happened with all the mint, I said, oh, that looks nice. But I want it small over there. So I'm going to cut that mint, make it low. And then, so I'll have mint at different heights. And mint is totally invasive. It will grow everywhere, which is fine. I don't care where it grows. Because if the mint's growing, the grass is not growing. So that's my strategy.
And it looks like your strategy is working because these are milkweed.
Yeah, I got real lucky. We used to have a lot of milkweed, but the deer eat them, unfortunately. Right down to the ground, they eat them. But this year, Sally's going to spray it maybe with deer off. So we can get at least a seed. But yeah.
Pronounce your name. Tell me your name and where you live, because that's a nice little soundbite you gave me.
Okay. I'm Anthony Biancaviso. I live at 111 Hillside Road with my beloved wife, Sally Rowe.
What is it like to be married to such a prolific gardener?
Well, it's extraordinary because she doesn't see what I see, because I'm always looking at the big picture, and she's looking at each plant that she's putting in and wants to improve its health and help it thrive. None of that interests me. What really interests me is the whole effect, and it's so powerful because when I walk out, I'm just bowled over by the amount of beauty that the flowers that she has selected. I mean, she has really worked on it. She has investigated the plants, their parents, their grandparents. She's really into finding out what's good for the plant, nurturing the plant. So it's all there, and it's like, this person is doing this, and I come out and have my coffee, and I'm sitting in an exquisite garden that's her personality. This is not a formal garden. This isn't a garden designer. And as I've watched her design gets even more and more powerful and more purposeful, and you can see, and I guess it's like with any art, the more you pursue something over time, you start to get to at a different level.
Well, you know what I love about the two of you are like yin and yang.
Oh, that's for sure. That's for sure. I could never do what she's doing. Never, never, never. I could never do it.
Well, you take a different approach, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Yeah, well, that's it. You know, it's like Each person has their own way of seeing the world. And I think there are universal things that we all share. And, you know, some people like it, like I like less, and some people like more. And I can see what's beautiful about more, but I prefer less, you know. So there's, I think that's our nature to create and to communicate. That's what makes us really human and find meaning in things, of course.
You know what I love? You get to bring out the shading of the rocks, the algae.
By watering them, yeah. I water them for aesthetic reasons. I mean, I'm watering the stones because the stones look gorgeous, especially this time of day when it's not going to dry out so fast. So I have incorporated asymmetrical pieces of wood into the paths with the stone. And I don't think it can go wrong. I think you can put stone and wood together. I don't think anybody can't put it together in a way that's going to be beautiful to them. And if it's beautiful to them, it's going to be beautiful to other people. Some people, not all people, they don't see it. You know, I mean, I have people walk right over this. They don't even know what they just walk through it, and it's like they don't see it. But then I have other people that are really wow, and they really get into, you know, they see it.
It's stunning. It's absolutely stunning. This is a beautiful garden here, this rock garden. The colors there. You can see Anthony's garden work as part of Sally's garden, part of the Open Garden Day tour on July 27th. There are 7 gardens in this year's garden tour. For Sullivan County, the date is July 27th from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m. Here is the link to the Garden Conservancy page that has more information about the event, which is called Open Days, and you must register to attend. GardenConservancy.org, Open Days, Schedule, Sullivan County, New York. For Radio Catskill, this is Rosie Starr at the 2024 BioBlitz. It's being hosted by the Highlights Foundation in Boyd's Mill, Pennsylvania. It's a beautiful, cool summer day, and the event is well attended. Folks are walking around gathering all the information about the species that were observed here in the last 24 hours. But I'm inside a tent here, and this is one of my favorite subjects, mosses and lichens. I read a book a couple of years ago in the winter, and I just fell in love with this.
You speak to this woman right there.
Okay, if she'll talk to me. If you'd like to just share your name and whatever you'd like to say about what you found.
I'd like to talk about mosses and liverworts and how lichens belong with the fungi.
Okay, but first just tell me your name.
Oh, sure. I'm Susan Munch, and I'm a retired botany professor from Albright College.
She knows a lot about lichens, too.
And I love the pattern of her shirt.
That's what I wore today. Thank you for noticing. I did it. I've never worn it before. It was a gift.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Okay. This group is a combination of fungi and algae, and they work together, and it's a symbiotic relationship. And the algae are not related to these mosses, except vaguely. You know, they might be green.
I actually understand what you're saying, because I read that Robin Wall Kimmerer book. And that's why I'd like to hear what you have to say about this.
I like that book. And what we have here are mosses of two types. The ones that grow more upright. And even this one grows upright. And the ones that creep more. And this one is a creeping one. And there is its name. And this one is a creeping one. And this is one of the few mosses that has a common name. It's fern moss. And this one is one of the few mosses that has a common name, and it's called cushion moss. And this one, an obvious one with a common name, is called tree moss. And it's a creeping moss because it has an underground stem as well as the upright stems. And so the underground stems creep, and the upright ones are just branches off this underground stem. And they look like little trees, except that our trees are not connected by underground anything. So this is tree moss, and then there's fern moss. And those, it's very unusual that they have common names. Most of them just go by their Latin names. And then these are liverworts. And that's what most people don't understand is the difference between a liverwort and a moss. In the textbooks, most of the liverworts are this type. They're called phalloid. In other words, they just aren't differentiated into leaves and stems. They are just a flat mass of tissue. And then there are leafy liverworts. And people confuse these for sure with mosses. And you have to look with a magnifying glass, probably, to see the leaves of these, unless you're a little kid with real sharp eyes. No. You have to have those eyes that focus really close. And then you would see that these have leaves on them, but that they overlap like shingles on a roof. There are two rows of leaves, one on either side of the stem, but they're real close together and they overlap. And so this one is Perella, and this one is Bazania. And if you looked really closely on this one, you would have to use probably a microscope or a hand lens at least. Some people can actually see that each of the leaves has three tips, three points to it. And that's why it's called Bazania trilobata, because the tip of the leaf has three points. So there are lots of little tiny distinguishing features, but if you look at them closely enough, they're all different. And it really seems strange to me when people say, oh, I have moss in my yard, when they really should say, I have different kinds of moss in my yard. I have several species of mosses, you know. So,
yes, if I were to speak about it, I would be speaking erroneously. But I recognize so much of this from my yard. And you know what? When I read the book, I learned that some of these moss, they can survive with just one dose of rain.
Yeah.
And they might look dry and dead, but they're not.
Each species has a different tolerance for drying out. Some of them can only stay a few days, some of them a week, and some of them several months, and so forth.
You're very knowledgeable, and I appreciate everything you said.
I've been teaching about them for a long, long time.
Well, you're lucky students.
Oh, they may think I'm just too picky. But they should.
What made you choose this branch?
Well, I started out as a French major in college. And I didn't like the French novels they wanted me to read. And I've always been more interested in languages than literature. And I had always liked plants, but my high school biology teacher didn't. And he taught only animals. And so when I found that you could study plants at college, I met people who were studying plants. I said, I'm going to change my major. That's what happened. And so I wanted to teach in a small college because I like all kinds of plants. I didn't want to specialize.
Are you documenting all your knowledge? I mean, have you thought about memoirs or books?
No, I've written a small book on mosses and liverworts. But it's not comprehensive. It's only on the easier ones. They wanted to call it common mosses and liverworts, but they're not. It's not the common ones. It's the big ones that have outstanding features that are easy to pick out. You know, so I don't know. I don't think we have a copy of it right here. It's probably not available anymore.
Well, if I ever run into it on a book sale or something, I have to use one of these little light things to look in here.
You just have to get it just right, and then the light will come on.
Oh my gosh, I can see what you're talking about with this. This is amazing. Oh, what a beautiful... Would you call it a plant if I said this is a beautiful one?
They're plants, but they're not vascular plants. They're not higher plants. They don't have roots.
They don't have roots. That's what separates them?
That's what separates them from the stuff over there. See, we're actually botany, too, but they labeled everything.
No, I think this is a special world in its own. There's so much...
But they're still plants.
Yeah, they're plants. They're... Oh, I love them. They're soft and beautiful, intricate. What else would you like to share about your love and knowledge?
That's plenty.
Yeah, it is. Thank you so much. Thank you. And for,
I'm so glad you wore that shirt today, because I walked in and your back was to the, where I saw it, you know.
And you saw it?
Oh, I saw it immediately when I walked in. Oh. I make quilts, too, and I love fabrics.
Yes. Thank you for being here. All this information is going to be on the iSeq, the database for BioBliss.
Oh, no, all we enter is names.
Okay. Species.
Right. Yeah, species names. It's not going to be.
Thank you.
This is Rosie Starr, producer for Farm and Country. I would like to share with you some poems written by Emily Dickinson and read by a few of the local poets in our community: Christine San Jose, Marcia Nehemiah, Sheila Dugan, and Nancy Wells were delighted to read their selected poems written by Emily Dickinson. Their narration is dedicated to community member Ed Wesley, who loved the poetry of Emily Dickinson. Both Ed and Emily knew the importance of pollinator gardens for birds, bees, and butterflies. Many folks know Ed for sharing his enthusiasm and knowledge on monarch butterflies. Having lived in Milanville, Pennsylvania, Ed also appreciated the structural beauty and historic importance of the Skinner's Falls Bridge. Ed lived with a reverence for all creatures, great and small. He passed from this life, leaving behind fertile seeds of goodness that continue to blossom in our community. Let's begin with Christine San Jose.
This is Emily Dickinson being just a little more playful, I think, than perhaps one expects. And it's called A Murmur in the Trees to Note. A murmur in the trees to note, not loud enough for wind. A star, not far enough to seek, nor near enough to find. A long, long yellow on the lawn. A hubbub as of feet. Not audible as ours to us, but dapperer, more sweet. A hurrying home of little men to houses unperceived. All this and more, if I should tell, would never be believed. Of robins in the trundle bed, how many I espy, whose nightgowns could not hide the wings, although I heard them try. And then I promised ne'er to tell. How could I break my word? So go your way, and I'll go mine. No fear you'll miss the road. Isn't it lovely? Secrets, secrets. Yes.
This is a poem for Ed Wesley. My name is Marcia Nehemiah. The poem is by Emily Dickinson. A bird came down the walk. He did not know I saw. He bit an angleworm in halves and ate the fellow raw. And then he drank a dew from a convenient grass, and then hopped sideways to the wall to let a beetle pass. He glanced with rapid eyes that hurried all around. They looked like frightened beads, I thought. He stirred his velvet head like one in danger. Cautious, I offered him a crumb, and he unrolled his feathers and rowed him softer home. Then oars divide the ocean to silver for a seam, or butterflies off banks of noon leap, plashless as they swim.
Sheila Dugan from the Complete Poems of Emily Dickinson. The crickets sang and set the sun, and workmen finished one by one the seam the day upon. The low grass loaded with the dew, the twilight stood as strangers do, with hat in hand, polite and new, to say as if or go. of vastness as a neighbor came a wisdom without face or name, a peace at hemisphere and home, and so the night became. And from the complete poems of Emily Dickinson, it begins, the sky is low. The sky is low. The clouds are mean. A traveling flake of snow across a barn or through a rut, debate if it will go. A narrow wind complains all day how someone treated him. Nature, like us, is sometimes caught without her diadem. And hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without the words and never stops at all. And sweetest in the gale is heard, and sore must be the storm that could abash the little bird that kept so many warm. I've heard it in the chilliest land and on the strangest sea, yet never in extremity it asked a crumb of me.
Hi, I'm Nancy Wells, and I'm going to read some poetry, or a poem or two, by Emily Dickinson. I just love the woman. I love her poetry. The first line of the poem is, I died for beauty. I died for beauty, but was scarce adjusted in the tomb when one who died for truth was lain in an adjoining room. He questioned softly why I failed. For beauty, I replied, and I for truth, the two are one. We brethren are, he said. And so, as kinsmen met a night, we talked between the rooms until the moss had reached our lips and covered up our names. Then I'm going to read, I'm nobody. Who are you? Are you nobody too? Then there's a pair of us, don't tell. They'll banish us, you know. How dreary to be somebody. How public, like a frog. To tell your name, the livelong day, to an admiring bog.
As I prepared this audio gift for you, a monarch butterfly lighted on the buddleia bush that I planted in Ed Wesley's memory. Take a moment now to think about the importance of your place in our community and what impact you can make. Please consider a financial donation to your public radio station, Radio Catskill. Visit our webpage, wjffradio.org, to make your donation now. Thank you for listening to Farm and Country on Radio Catskill. We hope that you enjoyed our show this week with production by Radio Catskill Volunteer. Special thanks goes to our guests, Anthony Biancaviso and Susan Munch, and to our local poets, Christine San Jose, Sheila Dugan, Marcia Nehemiah, and Nancy Wells. This has been your host, Rosie Starr. Thanks for listening local to Farm and Country and supporting Radio Catskill. We are Radio Catskill, local news, culture, and NPR.
Support comes from Damascus Citizens for Sustainability, fighting for clean air, land, and water since 2008, both locally and beyond. Information online at their Main Street storefront in Narrowsburg or their office in the Narrowsburg Union. DamascusCitizens.org.
We've heard from so many of your fellow listeners during our summer fund drive.
People should absolutely support public radio. It is a lifeline to quality news. It is a lifeline to truthful news. It is a source of local information, community events, and frankly, I think it pulls us all together.
I love the morning programming, and especially the midweek afternoon shows. I'm a huge fan of jazz, so whenever that's on, I'm listening without communication.